Luke chapter 22, beginning the reading of God's Word at verse 47. Jesus is now very close to the moment of his death, and the soldiers come to take him captive. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and a man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." May the Lord bless to us his holy and infallible word. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we gather together not only to listen to the Word of God, but also to celebrate together the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And as we do that, I would invite your attention to Luke chapter 22, and to verse 53 in particular, and to the words at the conclusion of that verse when Jesus says, "But this is your hour when darkness reigns." Much of the Gospel of Luke is taken up with the progress of Jesus toward Jerusalem. It is steady and relentless progress, and the end is certain death on the cross. In Luke 9, verse 51, the evangelist writes, "As the time approached for him to be taken up into heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem." Luke is speaking about the ascension, but the ascension will be preceded by a painful death on the cross. And Jesus is fully aware of that. He knows that is going to happen. And yet he sets himself resolutely to go to Jerusalem. Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. By the time we reach Luke chapter 22, the hour of his death is at hand, and the crowd has come finally to seize him. And yes, there is Judas, one of Jesus' own disciples, and he is leading the way. But before Jesus is actually seized, he speaks one final word to those who have come to take him into custody. "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." Who are these people whose hour has at last come? This is your hour. Well, certainly there are Roman soldiers, and they have torches and lanterns because it is dark, it is night. They have swords and they have clubs. They might need these things to take Jesus if his disciples begin to resist. But these Roman soldiers do not come on their own. They come in the service of other people. And these significant others are identified for us in verse 52. They are the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and the elders. They are the representatives of the nation of Israel. They are the Lord's covenant people. As a matter of fact, they are the leadership among the Lord's covenant people. The leaders of the church of the old covenant have come to take Jesus captive. And they come using Gentiles, unbelievers, to do their dirty work. The rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. This is their hour, the hour in which an apostate church unites with a pagan world to direct all of its energy against the Lord. This is the hour of their fulfillment, the hour of their triumph, because they hated Jesus. They hated Jesus with a passion, and their hatred had been seething for a long, long time. They hated him because Jesus testified that their works were evil. And how humiliating that must have been for the leaders of the church of the old covenant. Here they were putting themselves forward as champions of law and order. And Jesus exposes their true identity as champions of iniquity and chaos. And so they looked for ways to destroy Jesus. But they were afraid. They were afraid because there were many people listening to Jesus. And because they did not fear God, of course they were afraid of these people. Now their hour has come. The hour which they had so hoped for, so desired, so cherished. The moment they have been waiting for, the time of their frustration is past, and under the cover of darkness, they lay hold of the Son of God. They lead him away. This is your hour. Jesus also says, this is your hour when darkness reign. Jesus is seized under the cover of darkness, and darkness is the appropriate atmosphere for this sort of deed. Jesus himself always worked in the broad daylight. He worked out in the open where everyone could see and hear and understand what was happening, because his gospel was not a subversive plot. His gospel brought light into the darkness. And the contrast between his way of working and the way of working of his enemies is obvious. But there is more to these words than this. Literally, Jesus says, this is your hour and the power of darkness. When darkness reigns, the power of darkness. Jesus is being confronted by the children of darkness, and they are fleeing from the light because their deeds are evil. But that realm of darkness is a realm over which Satan reigns, and the power of darkness is the power of the satanic realm. This hour belongs to the arch enemy of Jesus Christ, Satan himself. Jesus is confronted by his enemies, both the church leaders and the pagans, but behind them is the power and the authority of the prince of darkness. Jesus is saying, you have power over me now, but Satan has power over you. And the human power is so evident in the swords and the clubs that these men have brought. But there is also an invisible satanic power. And in this hour, these powers are united against Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Wait a minute. Doesn't Paul write in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, that Jesus is the power of God? And isn't the gospel which Jesus preached the power of God unto salvation? Yes. And so what we see in this moment are two powers. Two cosmic powers in confrontation with one another. And brothers and sisters, that is what human history is all about. And that's what human history has been all about from the moment that Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden to the present time and up until the day of judgment. The confrontation of two cosmic powers. The power of Satan on the one hand, and the power of Jesus Christ on the other. In this dark hour, the power belongs to Satan and to his cohort. It belongs to the demons and to their human instruments. But after the resurrection, Jesus will say, all power and authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. And the church will confess, yours, O Lord, is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. And so that raises the question in the third place, whose hour is this? After all, whose hour is it? It is very striking that in this passage, the enemies of our Lord do not claim this hour for themselves. At least they don't do that openly. It is Jesus who is speaking. And it is Jesus who assigns this hour to his enemies. You see that? Jesus is speaking. And it is Jesus who assigns the hour to his enemies. It is Jesus who says, this is your hour. When darkness reigns, it's your turn now. Jesus speaks with sovereign, solemn composure at this tense moment. No, these words are not the words of a criminal who has been flushed out of hiding in the middle of the night. These are the words of the Son of God who has come from heaven to do the will of his Father. Yes, the soldiers have come with swords and with clubs. It's their hour. But Jesus is the one who is in sovereign control of what is happening. Brothers and sisters, therein lies the comfort for you and for me. In themselves, these words ought to strike terror into our hearts. After all, what Jesus is saying is that Satan is in the driver's seat. Satan is in charge, and the entire composite of hell is now unleashed against the Son of God. But Jesus speaks. And he speaks because he is in sovereign control. And Jesus says to his enemies, looking them squarely in the eye, "This is your hour, when darkness reigns. This is your hour only because I am allowing it to be your hour. Yes, you have the edge, but only because your hatred is directed against one who bears the sin and the condemnation of his people." His enemies have swords and clubs, and they may well use them. Peter and the other disciples also have swords, but they are not allowed to use them. Jesus is surrounded by legions of angels, the very same angels that will administer judgment on the day that Jesus returns in power and in glory. But the Lord deliberately restrains these angels. And the most they can do is to stand around and flutter their wings. This is your hour when darkness reigns. Yes, brothers and sisters, the hour for the revelation of satanic power, but an hour that was set in the councils of eternity, an hour for which Jesus has been planning from the moment that Adam transgressed in the garden. This is the hour that Jesus was aiming for when he set out resolutely to go to Jerusalem. Jesus' hour has come, and it is the hour for the revelation of our salvation. There was never any hour like it in all of human history. And never again will there be an hour like that hour. This past week, you and I received the sad news that our brother and sister, Bill and Ruth Martin, lost their infant son at birth. Brothers and sisters, that was devastating news for the parents who had so eagerly looked forward to the coming of that young one, and for the grandparents on both sides. And I'm sure the question arose in their minds, as it does in ours: who was in charge at that moment? Who was in charge of the world, and who was in control? And the Lord answers that question for us today, now in this service, when he asks us to take our places at his table. For the Lord is saying to us each one, "I want you to think now about the death of my son. I want you to think about the death of my son. my beloved Son. And I want you to think about that hour when the entire composite of hell seemed to be in control of human destiny. But it wasn't so, was it? Jesus was in control, even of that hour. Brothers and sisters, Jesus was also in control last Thursday, in the moment of our helplessness. And because Jesus was in control, he can assure us that a day is coming when there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Father in heaven, we have seen something of the power of Satan and of hell as it directs its energy against Jesus Christ, your Son, the Son of the living God and our Savior. But Lord, we have seen in that moment of his death the hour of our salvation and redemption. And we rejoice to know that you are sovereign over all of history, even at this moment. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we come to the table today, that our thinking may be focused upon Jesus, your beloved Son, who died that we might live. In his name, amen.